my name is Jacqueline Keane, and I'm an assistant astronomer at the University of Hawaii, based in Manoa on the island of Oahu. And my background is infrared astronomy, where I study the molecules that you would find in interstellar clouds, where stars and planets are formed. And then I also study the molecules you find in comets and asteroids, and I try and find the connection between these bodies to see where comets form in our solar system and whether they delivered any molecules to our early Earth that then seeded life and biological signatures.
Okay. So even though this episode is based around Tuai Borisov, you were involved in the discovery of the findings from the Pan-STARRS 1 on Haleakala on Maui for Oumuamua back in 2017. And you were cited on a Nature paper for November 17th, 2017, that you were a part of. So what kinds of things were measured and what info did you learn from the findings and what observatories contributed to the study?
Yeah, so on October 19th, 2017, Pan-STARRS discovered this very unusual object passing through our solar system. And quite quickly we realized that it was definitely unusual. It wasn't like anything we'd seen in our solar system before. And the object was moving so fast, and the initial estimates of its trajectory, and that basically means its orbit where it came from, definitely indicated that it did not belong to our solar system, and so it came from outside our solar system. And that was the first time ever we'd managed to detect an object. And so once Pan-STARRS' discovery was confirmed, then various other telescopes or facilities started observing the object. And quite quickly, we got time on the Canada-French-Hawaii telescope on Mauna Kea to follow up the Pan-STARRS observations. And then with that, we also got time on Gemini South and their very large telescope in Chile to do the same observations. Because this object was moving so fast, we could not observe it in the Northern Hemisphere about a week or so after we discovered it. So we had to go to telescopes that were in the Southern Hemisphere, so that's in Chile. And with all those observations, we were basically imaging the object. We're trying to find how bright it was. And when you measure the brightness of an object, and if you measure it many times as a function of time, you get to infer or diagnose the shape of the object and also how rapidly the object is rotating on its axis. And all that allows you to interpret the size of the object. And with all that information, the size of Oumuamua, the diameter, was determined to be about 200 meters thereabouts. So it's a small little rock passing very quickly through our solar system. And these observations also indicated that it didn't appear to have a coma. So it wasn't like a comet. It was like an asteroid we'd find in our solar system. And with these observations, we also can use spectroscopy to determine the surface composition of the object. So what molecules or what is the chemical composition of the surface? And it was fairly standard, like our solar system objects. It was just a rising red slope. With longer wavelengths, its slope increased. And so it was no different than comets in our solar system or what we call D-type asteroids in our solar system. So it was nothing very unusual apart from the fact that it came from another solar system.
So with both Oumuamua and this new object, there's really been a rush to gather data. And Pan-STARRS, the telescope that initially discovered Oumuamua, stands for Panoramic Survey Telescope and Rapid Response System. And so these rapid targets of opportunity we seem to be focusing more on, or now that we have the ability to do that. So could you just, I guess, briefly comment on the rapid nature of this field?
Yeah, so with Oumuamua, one thing that became really obvious quite quickly is that it was moving very fast, and it was also decreasing in brightness very quickly. So basically, if you would think of the distance from New York to LA, it traveled that distance in less than 60 seconds. And so it's rapidly moving and rapidly getting faint. So the window to observe Oumuamua with ground-based observatories was only 2 weeks before it got too faint for it could be observed from the ground. And once it was too faint from Earth, we have to go to the Hubble Space Telescope. And even that could only monitor this object until early January. So in essence, there was a less than 3 months of a window to study at this unique object that passed rapidly through our solar system. And having access to rapid turnaround observations with various facilities around the world meant we could do as much science as we could in those 3 months. So there was definitely a huge rush to get information, because once it disappears from our solar system, we won't see that object again.
So back to this new comet that we've detected, Comet 2019-Q4. I've been told that you have a program to monitor the comet using an infrared spectroscopic program.
Yes, so once 2I, which doesn't yet have a name like Oumuamua, but once 2I was discovered and confirmed to be interstellar, there was, again, we activated many of our observing programs that exist at various telescopes. And most of those optically image the object in a couple of different filters, but it's still imaging. What we wanted to do with the Gemini director's discretionary time that we rewarded was to try and get a spectrum of the object. 2I, unlike Oumuamua, is active. It has a coma. That means there's gas being released from the surface, and as it comes off the surface, it drags dust grains off with it. So it's very like a comet we would see in our solar system. And we wanted to look at the material that was in the coma of this object. And the way to do that is with spectroscopy. And we focused on trying to find two water absorption bands in this particular wavelength region that the instrument on Gemini could observe for us. And so on September 24th, we activated the program once we were awarded the time, and we took us two spectra of the coma that's around 2I.
Okay, and compared to optical spectroscopy, is there a difference or a pros to looking at this?
Yes, so you're actually probing different species. And so in the optical, they did CN or C2, or they're trying to find OH. We were going after water H2O ice grains. And so the difference here would be that the ice grains with water will have an absorption feature in the near IR, whereas in the optical, when you're going after gas, they'll have emission features. And it's important to study all of those, but unfortunately, with observing time, you can only focus on one narrow region of a spectrum. And so we focus on the water region, while our colleagues focused on the optical spectrum.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to seeing in future comets that we haven't detected yet, that we're waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the problem with comets in general is that they're coming inwards to the sun and then they go out again. So the activity of comets is very unpredictable. And to study the interior of these comets, you'd like these to be quite active so that you, from the ground, you have the sensitivity to detecting things. What would be wonderful in the future is to have spacecraft that are in hibernation around the Earth that you can then send out to visit comets and monitor the comets more regularly than we can do from the ground. And there you can more accurately look into the inside of these comets and see what they're composed of, and then see where they formed in our solar system. How far from the sun were they? How far from Jupiter were they? So there's a lot that can be done. It just requires finance.
I have heard that there are craft that they're proposing to kind of wait out there in orbit until we have a far enough warning in advance of an incoming comet and we could send it out to actually probe it.
That's correct. And so with these survey telescopes, and now that they're regularly surveying most of the sky in a couple of nights, we're finding more and more objects further out, which gives us time to plan observations. And right now, there's an object called C2017K2 Pan-STARRS, which does not reach perihelion, that means the closest point to the sun, until around the end of 2022 or 2023, I think. But we are already monitoring that object, and it's extremely active, even though it's still way beyond Jupiter at this point. And so being able to find these objects sooner or earlier means we can plan more observations and monitor them more regularly. So yes, there's still a lot that can be done.
For 2I Borisov, does your team have future plans of additional observations or things that they're planning on doing as it's going to continue to get brighter as it approaches the sun in these coming
months? Yes. The great thing about 2I is that it was discovered on an inbound leg, so it hasn't quite reached its closest point of the sun yet. That'll happen in, I think, December 8th of this year. So we've been actively monitoring it with telescopes from all around the world, and they've been trying to measure the gas content, dust content. One of the key things, we have a huge campaign on the VLT telescope in Chile. We have an ongoing campaign with Gemini North to get the color of the object, and the color tells us about the chemical composition. And on top of that, we have time on the Keck telescope on Mauna Kea to try and measure directly the water gas that's coming off the comet. Because a lot of the water measurements to date are inferred from OH molecules. That's not a direct measurement of the water. We want to directly measure it with KIC facility. And we need a very strong spectrograph for that with a large mirror. So that's ideal to use KIC. And that hopefully will happen in the next month or so.
Is that a detection, though, that you could make at this point or previous points? Or is it needed to be closer and brighter?
Yes. So to detect molecules, you need to be a lot of molecules there to detect them. And the closer to the sun, the more active the object, that means the more molecules we expect to see in the coma. So you do need to wait till it gets a little bit closer to the sun to do this stuff.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the findings from future papers that you'll be included on, and I'll keep my eyes out.
Yes, and try and keep the sky clear of clouds so we can do the work.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.